In the outside world we need some teacher. We are the threshold to them, whatever learn at their feet. But all these outer subjects relate to the outer faculties, mind or intellect. And in a subject we start, the ABC of it starts when you rise above body consciousness. When the world flashes and there the vision starts, re means back, leisure to mind. We do need somebody. Of our own self we cannot rise above body consciousness. Can we? Why can't we, I tell you? Because our souls are identified with the outgoing faculties, mind and intellect and the body, that we cannot, we are identified, we cannot differentiate ourselves. We are under grand delusion. Who can withdraw our attention from outside and from the body below, raise you up, you see I am not the body. Know thyself means, by self-analysis you know you are the driving force of all this factory of the man body. Then you see the old self which is controlling you. So such like, this is definition generally given by all masters. They never say, I am God. They say, we are the messenger. We have been sent by God to guide you back to your home. That's all. If anybody says, what 10th Guru said, if any of you do call me God, you go to hell. You see, that is only to stop this misconception prevailing in the world. Our master used to say, he said, take me as your father, as your mother, elder, as your teacher. They follow my instruction. When you rise above body consciousness, you see something more, you may tell anything. So this is something which starts when you rise above body consciousness. And Guru Amar Das came to the feet of such a master after 70 long years. He says, I've got great blessing to have a living master. So Guru Ram Das, he says, pray. Anybody would pray. Oh God, make us the slave of the slaves who have become your slaves. We are all, you see, slaves of our outgoing faculty, slaves of the mind ramifications. We are slaves of the outer enjoyments of all those who are attached to us. We are not slaves of God. So he prayed, O God, lead me to the feet of such a master who is your mouthpiece. And keep me with him till the end of my life. Let my soul depart while at his feet. Naturally, any lover would like to die at the feet of his beloved, is it not? We have been lovers of the world. When we are leaving, we call, where my son, where my mother, where that, where that. And the man is the lover of God, he says, oh God, I've come, I'm going to my father. This is all master says. Guru Amar Das says, now I'm going back home. Don't cry. Baba Jamsi said the same thing. Our master used to say, some months before, well, I am leaving you. Oh, such like masters, we pray, oh God, give us the feet of such a personality who is the mouthpiece of God. And he said, how long shall I should like to die at his feet? This is very biggest prayer, he said. I mean, prayer. Of all the prayers that we have. And he says, why I have chosen this thing? He says, even the most learned people like Shankara, who first gave out about the, what you say, oneness of God is all God, into expression or whatever it is. We are no other than God. Then later on his father gave out the Ramanuj that we are still a cover over that power. We are not that. He also, you see, first he was preacher like that and ultimately became to be a lover of Rama. God incarnation power. So as I told you yesterday, in the temples, in the mosques, in the churches, there are symbols of light are found out there. Which is better? They are symbols only to show that such like models, that such like light and sound of God is reverberating within you. And one asks, who is the better? And he is better of the two of all these in whom that light is effulgent, is radiating. That is best of all. So these outer things you have found just for teaching the people that such like sound is there, such like light is within you, you are the two temples of God. We have respect for outer temples and places of worship as it is meant to direct people to the true temple of God which you are carrying. So long as the practical people were there, they gave a demonstration of that. They saw their own body was the true temple of God with the grace of the Guru. So he is best of all. Now he says Shankar, the most learned man, came out after to worship of man, incarnation. And Narad, who is the, I see the Bhakti Yoga, head of the Bhakti Yoga, like Ramakrishna Paramahansa, he took to the Bhakti Yoga. And last of all, he saw, he first worshipped God in the symbol of Mother. Mother enveloped me all around, right, left, up, down. There was no place where Mother was not. He came to his Guru. He said, look here, I cannot rise into quantity, unity of God. He took something, whatever was lying, put him here. Put your attention here. Rise above. Then he had risen into oneness of God. So I tell you, the most learned and the most devoted God, I mean Bhakti Yoga, and also of all other yogas, they bear testimony, they hanker to come to the feet of somebody who is God made flesh. One is, fire is burning somewhere, to sit by that, and one is learning how to burn the fire by rubbing. So that is why Maulana Rum gave out, if you can find to sit at the feet of a master, not the so-called masters, excuse me, for 1 hour, that will give you an effect, a benefit you would not be able to derive by sitting 100 years in the outer palace. So, Guru Nanak Das say, why we want to set the feet of a master like that and die at his feet? Because even the most learned people, the most bhakti yoga heads and others all crave for the, I mean, what is presence or the guidance or the company of those who were made flesh, direct mouthpieces of God. He says, further it is, such like people, those of world made flesh, wherever they laid their feet on, where they resided, they became the places of pilgrimages. Christ lived in Jerusalem. That is the place of pilgrimage for all Christians. Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad, was at Mecca. That is the place of pilgrimage of all the Muslims all over the world. Buddha was awakened. In India there is a place there, that is called, that place is a place of pilgrimage for all Buddhists. Guru Nanak born somewhere which are called now as Nankanasar. He sat at the feet of some tree which became sweet, part of it, the fruit became sweet, then called as by that place where he sat. So one word made flesh sat in so many places, all places became the worthy places of worship. Which is better of all? Kabir puts question, O God, have a doubt in me, tell me, clear that out. Is it the word made better or the places of purification? You will have to say the word made flesh, wherever it says, is better of all these places of worship. Pilgrimages, because it is due to him that place of pilgrimage came to be. So that is why Guru Ramdas say, I pray, O God, let me sit at the feet of you, of such a word made flesh, and die at his feet. Then he says, what to do? Just seek, if you hear somebody like that, go and sit at his feet. Don't think of your high position, or your wealth, or your ego. You just hear somebody like that, go and sit at his feet. See for yourself what you want. Don't go by the propaganda. Simply go and see. These are the things which sometimes stand in our way. You know, there is one saint, Ravidas. Mirabai, a saint, came to his feet and was blessed, was put on the way. The king of his time was called by name Pipa. He heard about it, that Ravidas, who was by profession a cobbler, is a great saint here. So many people have gathered together at his feet and derived benefit. He also wanted to go to his feet, but he considered, I am a king. How can I go to the feet of a cobbler? See, worldly position, sometimes wealth, the wealth, sometimes high education, stands our way. Oh, I know so much, I have so much, why should I go? One day he could not remain, you see. At the evening time, here you see, at the evening time many people go around. In old days people used to go to the places of worship, sit there, temple, or at home. He ran up and go to the house, went to the house where Ravidas saint was living. He said, Master, I have come. He said, all right, he has not thought of his position and wealth and anything. He has come, all right, I will give him such a thing he will remember forever. You see, he was just washing the skin. He was a cobbler. And the king was afraid, oh my lord, what will happen if I'm asked to just drink that water which is washing up the skin? You see, the Priyamanavati, I mean, presence of a great master, man forgets everything. He could not refuse. He simply took the water, let it go to the shirt, ran back, oh God, I am saved. I was otherwise spoiled. When he came home, he called for the washerman, you can wash this cloth. That was some stain of the skin, I mean, water of the skin, washing. So the daughter, he asked his daughter to just, with the tongue, please it off, wash it, and then the shirt was washed. In that there was attention, you see, mind that. Attention works wonders. What is initiation? It's a literal attention given to, which gives you a boost to rise above body consciousness. Outward expression of the soul is called attention. When attention is diverted, rabbited at one place, that works wonder. So, washerman's daughter became to be known as a saint. People began to gather together at her feet. King also came to know about it, that the daughter of my washerman is a saint, people are coming, let me go to and visit him. He is not a cobbler, she is not a cobbler, you see. went over there. When he reached there, the daughter of the washerman stood up with head folded. And the Pipa king said, told him, look your daughter, I have come to see you as a saint, not as a daughter. You should not have stood. She said, also I have not stood that because you are a king. I am only standing in reverence because whatever I have got, it is through your favor. And she explained what it was, that I just washed the stain of the on the shirt which you gave us with my tongue. Then he repented and came back. Now the master, the people say, if you hear of such a master, who would not wish to go to such a master? But such masters have been few in the past. Even now they are few, but they are not, world is not without them. There is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Demand and supply goes on as a law. If a child was born 5,000 years back, 500 years back, or now, does not nature make arrangements for world in the mother before he is born? Don't you think those who will come in future, they will refuse that consideration? So, masters do live. They never say we are gods. They simply say we are your brothers. We are all brothers and sisters of God. Of course, they say they, with the grace of God, something is working, then all credit goes to him. So, Guru Ram Das gives, well, wherever you hear such like masters, you go to his feet. Don't think of the worldly position. Don't think of your high position. Don't think of the learning that you have got. To go it better, you see, Saint Augustine said, what is the way back to God? He said, first humility, second humility, and third humility. You are humble only when you try to go to somebody. Even if you go there, you are not humble, then whatever tumbler, you see, whatever glass you put under a tumbler of water, only that will be filled. If it then place above the tumbler, then what you know that's all right. Keep it to you. You won't just hear what he says. He might be saying something else. And you understand that, follow it. When you have that thing manifest in you, become humble, truly humble. Any fruit-laden tree, the branch of which laden with fruit, that bends down to the ground. So humility comes up only then. Now the point is, what does he give such a man? We have business rights, you see. Why should you go to such a person? He says, his first work is give a boost to you to rise up above body consciousness. He gives you a rebirth into the beyond. You know what Christ gave out? Except you be born anew, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, who was a very learned Jew, had there. He came up, Lord, how can, we are old ones, how can you re-enter the womb of the mother and be reborn? He said, you are a learned man, everybody. He said, flesh you, don't you know the flesh is born of the flesh and spirit of the spirit? Then he said, you must be reborn. This rebirth called. It is called twice born. You see? This is what they give. That's only had at the feet of master. Guru Nanak was asked, when did you escape the wheel of life and death coming and going? He said, by having a rebirth at the feet of my master. When you become conscious co-worker of divine plan, your ego is gone. If you have not become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, then you are the doer. Whatever you sow, you will have to reap that. Good action will give you good results, bad. The wheel of coming and going will go on. So this is the first thing who raises you from the depth of the poisons of the outgoing faculty above all that, bring you up and open your inner eye to see the light of God. Moralum repetitive as we are all in the prison house of the body. We have forgotten ourselves, how to come out of the body. He says, you break the roof, open the hole into the roof and go out. So in man body, you see, so long as you are working at the level of the outgoing faculties, all impressions are coming within you. If you stop all that, draw your attention from all outside, the outgoing faculty won't work. And just collect all your attention at the feet of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes, then that inner eye will open, single eye, you will see the light of God. You see the voice of God, music of the spheres, which will lead you where? That will lead you where? From where that emanated. God said, I am one and wish to be many. There was vibration. And vibration results in two things, light and sound. So this is direct way back to God. So, what is done? You see, when you meet a master, he gives you how to rise above body consciousness, how to become conscious co-worker at divine time, that power is working, it is not you. Then you lose your ego, that Lord of reckoning, of justice, which just gives us what is decisions according to our actions, then while a doer, but those who become conscious over the divine plan, they have not to attend that court of law. So this is, while all your records back are present, when there is nobody to bear the reactions of the past, no ego is left, no doer is left, then who will bear that? So all are worthless. So you are not to attend the court of reckoning after your death. As you sow, so shall you reap. You escape that beast. Because you become conscious, you are no more doer of the racing. So such like people, you say, what to do? When you want permanent peace and permanent jaya, then there is one thing only. Don't, he said, delay a minute. Seek the feet of somebody who is master in that sense. And so when such masters come, what do they do? They all right, here's the way back to God, come up, God will lead you there. He has sent me to carry you over there. He does not say, I am God, he says, I am messenger. Just, you see, there are two kinds of masters who come into the world. Electricity is the same. Somewhere it burns fire, somewhere it gives you eyes clean. There are two different workings of that power, which is called. One is called incarnations of God, the other come of the negative power, you might say, of God, time, and the other is incarnations of God. So saints also come to the world, their mission is different, and others also come, their mission is to punish the wicked, to uphold the righteous, and let the world going. Whereas those who come to take back soul back home, that is to depopulate the world, you see, and bring people home. It is something, I may give you an example. There's a prison house. One man goes there, he takes pity on them, they don't get good food, he allowed some money. and the prisoner begins to have good food after that. Another man goes there, he sees they've got no clothes. He sanctions some amount and the prisoner begins to have good clothes. A third man goes over there, he says they've got no ventilated building to live in. He sanctions some allotment, makes some money, and they begin to have good ventilated house. All three people went out there. Their sympathy was for the prisoners. They began to have good food, good clothing, good buildings to live in. Another man went up. He had the key of the door of the prison. He opened the door. All right, go out. Who had more sympathy for those men? So saints are like that. They come to take you back home. So whenever you come under the custody of such a personality, called by any name you like now, he's a man born like us, of course. But the difference is, he has controlled all his outgoing faculties, he takes work from them as he desires, and we are led away by the outgoing faculties. He rises, he wants his body is working in the world, but his soul is in tune with God, is the mouthpiece of God. He appears to very much, I've engaged in worldly affairs, but whenever he wants, he rises above body consciousness and transcends to beyond. So he can work both ways, here and there. To have such a master, living master, is a great blessing. So such like people come up, and then the question comes, what is in their hands with which they do all these things? They are word made flesh, mind that. That word has got, as you told, as I submitted to you, to a special light in some. They come, that's already within us, but our soul is just identified with the world outside. We draw all our attention from outside and gives it something to start with, some capital to start with. It's not simply says, go on doing it, you'll have it. No. A bird in hand is better than two in the bush. He gives you demonstration of that, how to rise above body consciousness. Gives you some capital to start with of light and sound. By regular practice, they do own, you see, at times Guru Amar Das says, I was sometime like you working the world, under the control of outgoing faculties, but now I have risen above with the grace of God, working through my Guru. So every saint has its past and every sinner's future. So there is hope for everybody. Those who got man-body, they have got the heredity right, as I told you, to know God. So in their hand, what nectar they have got, what medicine they have got, by which they raise our soul from all outward enjoyment, gives a higher bliss within, that it will bring you in contact with the world within you. Thy word is lamp unto my feet. Take heed that the light within you is not darkness. You follow me? With that thing, they do like that. So, when the master come, you know that when Christ sent his disciples to preach outside, he said, what you heard in the ear, tell them from the housetop. These things are now being given out openly as platform. This is the basic teaching of all masters who came, whether in the East or the West. Now we need some money. If we can rise up our own selves, well and good, what more is wanted? But if we cannot, if somebody comes there, then God sends him. Your prayer is true. God makes some arrangement to bring us in contact with somewhere where he can have this facility of rising to. Demonstration of rising above body consciousness, opening inner eye. So they come and proclaim, here is the way. God wants each one of you to come back to his home. And that thing which leads you to your true home is within you already, controlling you in the body. You are simply to withdraw your attention from outside and give your contact with that, and which will lead to where, from where it emanates, to absolute God.
Good morning and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you listened to was the last 30 minutes of a talk entitled, Who is Really a Master? It was given on October 9, 1972 in New York City. Our reader this morning is David Halliburton. Hello, David.
Hi, Christine. I'm going to be reading a talk because today, July 27th, is the birth anniversary of Master Kripal Singh's master, Baba Sawan Singh Ji. In honor of this, I'll read a transcription of a talk given by Master Kripal on this day during his 1955 world tour. Dear gentlemen and ladies, today is the birth anniversary of one of the greatest saints who ever visited the earth, at whose feet I had the good luck to sit and enjoy. The birth anniversary of a great man means for us to tread the path of truth as explained by him, to follow the teachings in their right perspective and digest them in our own life. Once a man asked the follower of a great man, "Would you write the life history of your master?" He said, "Yes, he would." After some time, they asked him whether he had written the life of his master. And he replied that he was writing very fast, very hard, and he was writing in his practical life, and there was still much to be written. So my words mean to say that to celebrate the birth anniversary of a great saint truly lies in the fact that we tread in the footsteps of the great master. The teachings he gave, in a few words, were that all mankind is one, whether they were theists or atheists. I've no time as yet to give you a long talk over his life, but just in a nutshell, to tell you that he loved the theists as he loved the atheists, for he said that soul is within all, and soul is the essence of the Almighty, a drop of the ocean of life. If the poor atheists do not know that they have got anything overhead, it is not their fault, it is their bad luck. So at least we do know that there is God overhead, the source of all creation and all souls. So he said that mankind is one. Love all, and all things shall be added unto you. This is the outer way. The biggest religion of mankind is consider that we all are reading in one class to reach the ultimate goal. This is the highest social religion he preached. In his attendance, there were sometimes thousands of people to attend to, of all creeds and colors and denominations. So much so, once I had an experience just to find out how much salt was used in the kitchen to serve those attending the satsang held by him. And in one day, the salt used ran up to around 820 pounds. Just consider how grand the gathering was there. So, whenever there is light, the bees will hum over it. He was the source of gentleness. He was the source of all spirituality. He was the source of all ethical life. He was competent to raise man's soul from the bondage of mind and matter and give them first-hand experience into the beyond. He raised man from the abyss of the indriyas, mind and matter, brought them up to contact the divine link within, and ultimately reach God. In a few words, he was the mouthpiece of God. He always said it is he who speaks in him at times. They will only give out this truth when they are left to their own selves. So if you hear, we do not know about the saints, what they are, it is only by hearing their personal talks, which they do give at times. They refer to their origin, their cause of coming into the world, and their mission that they carry into the world for the uplift for mankind. They come for all humanity at large. To him, there was no difference. East and West, both were dear to him. And those who sat at his feet spoke very highly about him. The people that came from the West, Dr. Johnson, Alexander, and many others, they also sat at his feet and drank deep into the nectar of the divine name and rose into the higher realms. Thanks to the great blessing of the Lord that he sends such like personalities into the world to guide the child humanity unto him. And for the great many things he came in the past, we had the pleasure of sitting at his feet. He was a grand personality. However, how can we define him or give him praises? Once, when I was reading in school, I put the question to a Christian missionary. I asked him why all other saints who are addressed by their followers, they all attach so many epithets to their names. Why does Christ not carry an epithet attached? And the missionary rightly replied, "Are you giving any epithets to God?" I said, "No." Then he said, "The sons of God, how can you define them?" It is only by praising that we bring them below to the divinity of a man. But they are not men. They are a higher power working at the pole of a man. And they are nobody else, no other than the God power overhead. Naturally, we have not seen God. Guru precedes God, because in him, he is refulgent, expressible. When we sit at his feet, we simply say, we have sat at the feet of the Lord who is residing in him. If you go into the shallow waters and have a bath, you say that you had a bath in the ocean. Similarly, when you sit at the feet of such a great master, you say you sat at the feet of the Lord overhead. We had the good fortune to have seen him in this physical life, moving on earth in all humility of saints, and humility personified, showering his blessings all around to all who came to his feet. Kirpal Singh. And now I'm going to be reading from the book Morning Talks, starting with Chapter 1, Charity. If to be rich is a good quality, we should also make others rich, and that we can do only if we give something of our portion. Our master, Baba Sawan Singh, used to give one-tenth in the beginning, but after a while, he sent everything to his master, Baba Jaimal Singh. Baba Jaimal Singh would then return something for the livelihood of Baba Sawan Singh and his family. Baba Salman Singh simply laid everything at the feet of his master, and the master used to return something for their livelihood. So, our master used to say that you should give one-tenth. And if you count up at the end of the year, you will find that you have saved expenses in some other way, in the case of sickness and other things. If you take account, you will find that this is so. So, by giving, you don't lose anything. The more you can give, the more you are gifted. When the masters come, they give away everything for their master. What did Christ say? If ye want to enter the kingdom of God, then sell everything that you have. This is the ultimate of delivering everything up to the master. So each man should learn first to earn his livelihood in an honest way. Then he should share with others. He should not stagnate. If you stagnate, then you will feel congealed within. If you rub gold or silver in your hands, they will become black. And the heart, where this very thing resides, do you think that it will become clean? So the first thing is, if you want to have self-service in the spiritual way, you should earn your livelihood by honest means and share with others. Begin with the least you can, then go up until you give everything for God. This has been the custom ever since history began. From the time of Abraham, all gave one-tenth of their valuables. Selfless service is done in two ways. The first way is physical service. If somebody is sick, go and serve him. Shall I see somebody in need, hungry, naked, poor fellow? The masters have always been for the poor, for the needy, to console them, to raise them up to the level of every man. If we do that, if everyone would share with others, there would be no poor in the world. Why are men so needy and hungry? Because we don't share. So by sharing with others, our self expands. At the very moment of giving, you feel a little joy within. That is the compensation you get direct. But whenever you give, don't give with the hope that you will have a return. Give for the sake of sharing with others. Sometimes we give for the reward that we will get in heaven. This is not the way. Selfless giving is what is needed. This is one of the qualifications for one who would like to progress on the spiritual way. So, he is a man who lives for others, who shares with others, with the needy, with the hungry, with those who are in very poor circumstances and cannot go on. What do? We feed our children very richly, while the children of our neighbors die of hunger. This is not what is wanted. One of the Mohammedan saints, who happened to be a lady, once prepared to go to Mecca on pilgrimage. Mecca is a place of pilgrimage for Mohammedans and is located in Arabia. She had some money for the journey, and as she was about to start, she noticed some poor, hungry fellow in the neighborhood. She gave away everything to him, and so was not able to go to the place of pilgrimage. What was the result? an angel appeared to her and said that her pilgrimage had been accepted. You follow what is meant? The man who lives on his own earnings, earned by the sweat of his brow, honestly, and who shares with others, such a man only is fit to progress on the spiritual way. Give not for the sake of compensation or return. Give for the sake of sharing with others. That is your duty towards your brothers and sisters. Once Christ was sitting in a gathering, and his mother came and sat behind. Somebody told Christ that his mother had come, and he said, "These are my brothers and sisters. They are also my mothers." All masters behave in this way. When our master went to his own place, the poor came to him, and he served them like anything. To serve others, to live for others, is really a criterion to know who is a man. We are all beasts in men. So the subject today is, earn your livelihood by honest means, first of all, then share with others as best you can. Begin with the least you can, maybe 1/10, maybe 1/40, but you must give something. A record is kept here, accounting is done, and that is audited. A regular accounting is maintained for the chartered accountant to inspect. With that, I have nothing to do. I have got my own income, my pension. At one time, when the accounts were being checked, one quite poor old lady came up with 1/10. The accountant said, "Well, some give 100 rupees, others give 50, but this donation is the most valuable of all." 1/10 is more valuable when given by a poor man who is sharing his honest earnings, though very meager. If even out of these meager earnings he gives 1/10, that has more value than one in affluent circumstances who gives 100 or 1,000 rupees. Here I have made a rule that those who give more than 30 or 40 rupees should come to me. I must see whether they are in a position to give or not. Sometimes out of devotion, we want to give everything at the sacrifice of our own children. Those who give little are most welcome. Their donations are received with great appreciation. They are not refused. But sometimes I find that it is the people who cannot afford to give, who want to send in their money without mentioning their name. Once I had a case here. Sometimes I refuse. Sometimes I return. Sometimes I accept half, only to see if anybody out of devotion does not care for his own family. This is my concern. It is also my concern to look after your interests. So the case I mentioned just before concerned a man who used to give 150 rupees a month. His whole monthly income was not more than 200 rupees. How could he afford to give 150 out of 200 rupees? So I looked into the matter and found that he had not given his name. I asked the man to come forward during satsang, as I had kept the money in trust for him and had taken nothing. It is the disciple's way to give everything, and the master's way not to accept anything for his own self. the disciple may give for the good of the master's cause, but at the same time, he should see how much he can really give. If he does not care for the welfare of his own children, then that also is not fair. So, we have a rule here. Those who give more than a certain amount, they come to me. This is a very strict condition given to Dalip Singh. He may accept 10, 20, or 30 rupees, but those who want to give more than that must come to me. Sometimes I accept. Sometimes I don't accept. Sometimes I return full. Sometimes I return half. So a man should share with others in degrees. Let him start with the least, maybe 1/40th or 1/20th. 1/10th has been the average. Those who cannot afford to give 1/10th, let them give 1/20th. Let them give 1/40th. Let them share even a single pie. So, those who want to progress on the spiritual way must earn their livelihood by honest means, first of all, and then share with others. You know why I don't accept money from those who are not initiated? Who knows how they earned the money? When a man is initiated, he is looked after by the master. Those who have not been initiated, their money is not looked after by anybody. Whatever they give will have to be repaid. You must have compassion. You must share with others. Don't give anything with the hope of return for something that you will have in the afterlife. This is not what is wanted. Give it once and for all. Share with others. They are your brothers and sisters in God. Do you follow now what is meant by charity? These things are not explained in books. Don't accept anything for your own personal self. So the main rule is, earn your own livelihood by honest means, first of all, then share with others, maybe the least. The more you can give, while looking after your family circumstances, so much the better. Then, you will ultimately give everything for the sake of God. We should give without the least hope of return. Selfless service. We are all brothers and sisters in God. There was a saint, Baba Kahan by name, to whom Baba Sawan Singh used to give 10 rupees every time he met him at Peshawar. Once Baba Sawan Singh was on field service and earned a good amount, 1,000 or 2,000 rupees. He met Baba Kahan again at that time. I also met him since I was in Peshawar at that time. Baba Kahan said to Baba Sawan Singh, "Well, look here, I want 20 rupees this time." The master said to him, "What, are you becoming greedy?" "Not the least," replied Baba Kahan. "I want the extra so that the poison may be taken away from all this money that you have earned. Before, you were earning less, and I took 10 rupees, and it was given away to the poor. I want 20 rupees now, only for the reason that you have got more money. Let it be shared with others." He did not accept anything for himself. This is what is meant by giving. If we give something and we want some return, that is not selfless service. In your diaries, you have got one column for this. It means something. It is for your own good. You follow the purpose for for which charity is meant? If you want return, action and reaction will come up. But a mother whose children are hungry will take out a morsel from her own mouth and give it to the children. She does not care for any return. So, help others with that angle of vision, with that spirit. We give sometimes for show. That is only for name and fame. That charity is no charity. Christ said, if one hand gives, the other hand should not know. If one hand gives something, let not your other hand know about it. So this is what is meant by charity. And now I'll start chapter 2, entitled Charity and Hard Earnings. I told you yesterday that by giving away something in charity, for which you do not require any return, selfless, that becomes fruitful. You simply give to those who are really needy, poor, naked, who have nobody to support them, the orphans, the widows, and others who would shy to beg, and who sometimes commit suicide for want of livelihood. Such like people should be helped. The usual way is to give to particular places where the money is just collected in thousands and millions. But that money is of no use to anybody. It is simply collected. Although the money is there, why should we contribute? Let our money be shared with those who are really needy, naked, with nobody to support them. Such like people feel shy to go and beg. However, they do come to some spiritual man. So it is better to give to him so that he may distribute to the right persons. To give money in charity is just like amassing money for your own self. The 10th guru says, I rejoice when I give something into the mouths of others. Those mouths are my mouth. Their bellies are my belly. Such like service only I cherish, all others not. If millions of dollars are given at one place, the result is that where there is so much money, there is always a clash. When they want to share, trouble arises. Then there are those who live only on charity given by other people, who have learned their money honestly. What is the result? People who live only on the charity of others without good reason. That money, earned honestly by others, becomes just like poison to them. Poison covered with sugar. So this will have the same effect on such like men. They must put in much more time for their meditations. Otherwise, they will have to suffer. Suppose if somebody gives you a glass of water or a glass of milk. He has some reason behind it. He wants some compensation for it. You may have no money in your bank, but that will still be debited against you. It is always better to earn one's own livelihood honestly, by dint of the hard sweat of your brow, and to share with others. Not for return, but to share, thinking that we are all brothers and sisters in God. Well, I have to stop here. I'm in the middle of chapter 2 of Morning Talks, and I will continue the next time I read. Thank you, Master.
And thank you, David, for reading Master's gracious, beautiful words. There were 91 participants at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for bringing us together to receive your loving guidance and blessings.
You say that at the feet of the Lord Orient, we had the good fortune to have seen him with this physical eyes, moving on earth in all humility of saints and humility personified, showering his blessings all round to all who came to his feet.